first chapter, remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus, remember now, these are his last words. I mean, Jesus is going to be taken away. I mean, we don't have a week to meditate on what he's saying here. We don't have a month or 30 days or a few months. I mean, Jesus is giving his final words, and he's out of here physically to visibly see Jesus. And what is the church going to do about it? And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, I mean, the end of that message was Jesus was out of here. So I would think those are very important words for us to hear. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And remember that Jesus commanded them to go to the upper room and to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. The explanation was given by Peter, how that this New Testament move of God started with John the Baptist, who gave his life literally as a martyr. And John baptized in water. And you know, how are people saved? Old Testament, New Testament, people have always been saved by faith in the revealed plan of God. Noah and his family were saved because they believed the word, build an ark unto the saving of your house. Or do the sacrifice, do whatever. All through the Old Testament, you say, well, I don't see anybody praying the sinner's prayer, although there was great faith. I am seeing it stronger all the time. All through the Old Testament, there was a strong move and wave of faith. Abraham was our faith father. And can you imagine just out on the wind-blown desert sands there, hillsides, that God revealed himself to Abraham? And you say, well, God spoke to Abraham. Yeah, he spoke to Abraham, but we have a book. Abraham had a word, but we have a word and a book. We have a word that's written in a book. It's called the Old Testament. And then, of course, it rolls into the New Testament and reveals God's plan of salvation. Word of God then goes over to Luke, or back to Luke 10:38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. The Holy Ghost and power. What happens to folks that are full of the Holy Ghost and power? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Amen. Now, I know that my Baptist banker told me years ago when we first started the church, I'd done financing things with him. I supplemented my income by I had a knack for finding a car and doing the right things with that and fixing it up and selling it. Joe and I were just married and trying to pay bills, and I had an anointing to do that. I don't have that anointing right now. That whole anointing shifted in a different direction. But there was a time when, if I say so myself, I had two bankers. He said, he told my dad one day in the bank, he said, your son's got a great gift in dealing with cars. Well, that wasn't my primary calling, but it paid for the groceries, you understand. And we were able to do that. But I remember the banker that loaned us the $1,000 to open the door and put the emergency lights in and just literally to open that post office building on West Bear Street. He told me more than once, and he didn't say it in a mean way. He was a strong Baptist layman, strong and financially had a strong mind. and actually was the financial brains behind one of the largest Baptist churches in the Metroplex. And many times he said, "Oh, my soul." That's what he said. "Oh, my soul, son. Oh, my soul, if you're only Baptist, what I could do for you." And you say, what did he mean? He had contacts. He knew churches. He knew preachers. He was on the board out at the seminary. I mean, this man was not a man without contacts and not without contacts that were lucrative. And he did respect me. And I remember one day I came into the bank things were just popping right and left. And we could buy pews for less than 50 cents on the dollar. We got some brand new padded pews. Got a lot of joking about it because we were the only charismatic church in the Metroplex that had padded pews at that time. A little small church, post office, amen. But I walked in and he said, "What can I do for you, Reverend?" I said, "Well, we need some money." And I told him how much we needed because the truck was arriving within 2 days and we had already ordered the pews. He said, "Well, how do you want to have?" I said, "No, whoa, whoa, whoa." I said, "Go back and check your files. We already have five or six notes with you because we'd get a load of sheetrock and we'd do this and we'd do that." You say, "Why'd you do it that way?" Because I didn't know any other way to do it right then. And it worked. And my faith was on the line and I wasn't being stupid. And God honored my faith. Amen. That was those days. That's not these days. That was those days. And I said, go check your files. He said, "I know exactly what you owe." But he said, the hand of God is on you, Pastor. And he said, "You've always taken care of your business. And I've dealt with you when you were doing more car business almost than church business just to pay the bills." And he said, "God's with you." And he said, "You'll take care of this. I don't have a worry." That's a very strong thing for a banker to say. But that was the same banker that said, "Oh, my soul, what I could do for you, son, if you were only Baptist." Well, but I said that to say this, and my father was Southern Baptist, and mother, as you know, was a fire-breathing Pentecostal, praise God, a former Baptist, but she got tainted, got ruined, and in the right way. But the thing that I want to speak to us tonight about is this. From my very birth, because when Dad and Mother got married, they were both Baptists, and I'm not knocking Baptists tonight. I love the Baptists. And I'll tell you the thing about that I see nowadays, there's Baptist churches that are a whole lot more on the ball than some people that claim to be Pentecostal full gospel. At least they're winning souls. I mean, you know, we've gotten so sophisticated on Main Street, we don't even give altar calls. I said, we don't even give altar calls anymore. And how much teaching can you do without winning a soul? How much teaching? We teach around here. There's teaching available. But how much teaching can you do without going out and winning a soul? You got to exercise. Not just eat, but you got to exercise. But what I'm saying here is this. It's the anointing. There's one thing that has kept me on track. Good times, bad times, uphill, downhill, trying times, and prosperous times. And that is that my DNA is Holy Ghost. My DNA is Holy Ghost revival. My DNA is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me explain it to you. See, this word power, it just means supernatural ability. Now listen to me. You say, "Now don't go preacher on us." No, I'm not going preacher on you. Well, now don't go just, everything's got to be supernatural. Every one of us, God's will for every one of us is to be supernatural. God's will for every one of us is to be more than we are. And that's not a condemnation. That's not legalism. But wherever you are, wherever I am, wherever this church is, God has more for us. And you remember, I've been through a few revival seasons over a period of time. I've been through some strong revival seasons. And sometimes, you always hear the cry, "Oh my Lord, we've had all these great, what are we going to do now? We're going to just keep on going in the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see God's will in this house, and we're going to see great victory, and we thank God for everything that God's done, but Jesus didn't die, and God's not dead." Hallelujah. Ye shall receive power means that what God's word literally says here, you will receive supernatural ability. Supernatural ability. It has a connotation of having the power of an army. It's forces, armed forces, host. Oh, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's one of the great sayings of the Word of God. Our Lord is the Lord of hosts. You say, well, what about China? What about North Korea? What about Russia? What about? Let me tell you, there is no force, there is no nation, there is no color of skin, there is no nationality that is more powerful than the Lord of hosts. Almighty God rules over all. And He has filled us with His power. Amen. You say, well, I don't feel it every day. I don't feel it every day either, but I'm after it. And I won't go along without feeling something. I'm telling you, by faith. It's power for performing miracles. I mean, these are original meanings of the word power. And you'll find power in either God's power or His power to us. Some 10 times just in those early chapters in Acts. It's moral power that will keep you from doing the wrong thing. I said it's moral power which will keep you from doing the wrong thing. It's a worker of miracles, power, strength, ability, miraculous power. And when He said, ye shall receive power, He meant, I give you power to be more than you could ever hope to be in yourself. I give you power to say what, to say more than you could ever say in yourself. I give you power to rise above financially in every way. But you got to believe it. And then over in the 10th, back in Luke, when he said how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We're Holy Ghost people. I've said something through the years. I was talking to a minister, and he was telling me what a blessing the ministry here had been. He was one of our graduates from Bible college. And he said, you really settled something for me. He said, it used to really bother me because I had a Baptist background. And he said, Holy Ghost always kind of agitated me. He said, Holy Spirit sounded a whole lot smoother. And you folks really get off on that Holy Ghost thing. Well, of course, the Bible does too, you know. And he said, why in the world didn't God say Holy Ghost? You know, it just kind of got a nice roll to it, you know. It sounds a little more sophisticated. It's a little more acceptable. And because it's God's pride buster. Holy Ghost is God's pride buster. I wish God would send R.W. Shambach back from heaven for just 1 week just to go across this nation and say, Holy Ghost. No one could say Holy Ghost like R.W. Shambach. I think it just ticks the devil off. I think it just makes him nervous. He just goes crazy. Come on, get back. And please, I'm not being sacrilegious. I say Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, and it's the same powerful third person of the Trinity. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Put your name there. With the Holy Ghost and power. That word power is the same word as Acts 1:8. And it's used over and over again. I don't know what level of power, but back in the gospel, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power over demons, devils, scorpions. I give you power. But you know, if you don't think along those lines, and if you don't pray along those lines, and if you don't meditate along those lines, and if you don't let that stay active in your spirit, your power level will go down. I said your power level will go down. Your power level, my power level will go down. Sometimes your mind just gets busy, and you're here, you're there, you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, and before long, you know, you try to start your car and the battery says, rum, 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 rum. That's why we need revival. There is one outpouring, but there's many refillings of the powerful Holy Spirit of God. One great, mighty move of God that fills us with the Holy Ghost. But just because that has happened doesn't mean that there is no challenge there. Now, I keep this before you because Jesus commanded 500 people to go tarry until they be endued with power from on high. 500 people. Say it with me, 500. And I know I've heard for years, if everybody in the church tithed, well, I believe that, and my faith's on the line for that. But having been in the ministry a few years, that's probably a miracle greater than the crossing of the Red Sea or the fiery furnace or the lion's den. But it's possible. If I ever, and God hit me in the head with a pipe wrench, if I ever thought about it, somewhere, some way, starting another church, I guarantee you there would be no membership without a written consent. I will be a tither. There would be no. I just say, on, you know. We love you. Praise God. Because the thing about it, you get people united. See, Satan likes to get us all split up. When we pray united, when we praise united, when we worship united, when we tithe united, when we believe united, amen. When we stand on the word united and Satan can't find a niche in our armor, hell can't handle us. Amen. So as I looked at this, really a title for this, and I'll just have to get into Sunday morning on some of this, but the power of the anointing, power anointing, power of the anointing, Holy Ghost. We're talking about the same family. The anointing, the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And let me just say this. I wrote it down like I felt God gave it to me. That word power is dunamis. The dunamis power anointing is God's divine power on us and in us, empowering us to operate to our maximum potential as long as we flow in that dunamis power anointing. It's to anoint us to operate at maximum. 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 You know, I'll tell you, freeways are crazy. I hate to admit it, but I looked down at my... I had two or three little cars all around me, behind me. One was honking. I had one on my left and had one on my right. And I looked down at my speedometer and said, help me God, I'm on I-30 doing 80 miles an hour. Those little cars blew around me. They weren't race cars. They weren't high performance cars. But cars are being built to drive faster than they used to drive. Detroit or whoever builds those cars, even the little guys can just, they can get you in trouble. You can go faster than it's safe to go. I thought I was putting some pavement behind me. I wasn't doing that speed on purpose. I was just trying to stay out of everybody's way. But everybody was in a hurry. Well, folks, we live in a world where everybody's in a hurry except the church. Everybody's in a hurry except believers. God's saying it's time to up the ante. It's time to ramp up. It's time to ramp up. Amen. The dunamis power anointing is God's divine power on us and in us, empowering us to operate to our maximum potential. Maximum potential. Boy, myself included, we left this place tonight, every one of us charged with and I'm believing God. God's going to touch people here in just a few moments. But we left this place full of maximum power, full of overflowing power. Here I preach on Sunday morning on the power of overflow, living in the overflow, and I got to Tampa, and I didn't realize that was the theme of Brother Rodney's camp meeting down there, ministers' meeting, overflow, overflow. And we had a good little mini shout there because I had no earthly idea, and he didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what he was preaching, but it was overflow. God wants us to be full and live in the overflow. God wants us to live in the overflow. Amen. Praise be unto God. Elijah, you go back to the Old Testament. Elijah could take on an entire nation. Elijah could take on Jezebel and Ahab and 850 prophets of Baal. When the power and the anointing of God was on him, and then when that lifts a little bit, he's running for his life. We start running for our life when we get out from under the power. But as long as we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, thinking that way, believing that way, planning that way, giving that way, praying that way, hell can't stop us. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. My, I and only I am left. I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one in Fort Worth that really believes God. My. Praise be unto God. So what are you saying? What are you trying to say? Well, you see, God anointed Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. He did no mighty miracle until he was empowered. He was wise. He confounded the doctors and the law. I mean, he was full of the word. He was an obedient child. He was a powerful young man. But he did no mighty work until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he submitted himself to John the Baptist. And you know the dove that came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then he gave the disciples, I don't ask me what level, I don't know. He said, "I give you power." And it's that same word, but there had to be some limitations there because they were too full of flaws back then. I mean, you know, Peter was always getting his foot caught in his mouth. Amen. His mouth must have been size 13 because it seemed like he was always getting his sandal caught sideways in his mouth. Amen. So whatever power they had, devils were cast out, good things happened, but it still wasn't the ultimate Acts 1:8 output, as I see it. And we'll let God settle that one day in eternity, throughout eternity. But oh, thank God, now he's going away. He's been the leader. But their leader is going. And they will not visually see their leader. Again, he's getting ready to leave this earth. Hallelujah. But he said, "Listen, I've got something that's more important, something that's greater, something that's bigger than me staying here on this earth and you being able to go around with me and have crusades with me and see me and touch me and be a part of what I'm doing. I have something that's a million times," I'm paraphrasing that, "but something that's a million trillion times greater than my physical presence. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, the Comforter will come." You guys have got to change your world. There's a world that needs changing. There's a nation that needs changing. Craziness that needs changing. And we can't do it in the power of the church. We can't do it in the power of religion. We can't do it just with same old, same old. We've got to have the power. And God anointed Jesus with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus is going away. And now Jesus says, "I'm going to baptize you with the power of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he commanded them, don't take a vacation without it. Don't leave town without it. Don't go hunting. Don't go fishing. Don't do anything. He commanded them. The most important thing in your life, you know me. Now the next number two thing in your life is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They went to the upper room and they tarried. 500 heard it, 120 did it. And therein lies about the way things go in the average kingdom of God situation. But you know what? I count myself one of the 120. Hallelujah. I may not be part of the, I'm talking about God's majority. God's majority is not always in number. It's in quality and quantity, as well as quantity. Praise God. And he commanded them. The miracle was that they went to the upper room. The next miracle was that they stayed. The next miracle was they were in one accord. The next miracle is they got through voting. He said, well, you know, this is a church gathering. We've got to vote. We've got to vote. We've got to vote. And they voted on poor old Matthias, and you never hear of him again. God was so impressed with their voting choice that you never hear of him again. But you hear of Peter, James, and John, and you hear of the others that God used, and Philip and Stephen and all of those that God used. Oh, so there God baptized them with the Holy Ghost. Well, what happened then? Well, the Bible said 3,000 were saved. Oh, then 5,000 were saved. And the known world of that day and time at least heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I've said it once and I don't need to say it again, but I want to say it again. Why in the world did we bring this pulpit down from the Power Tower? A pulpit that a famous man, a man of God, preached over this pulpit. And God used him in a supernatural way in the early days of America. 1/6 of this nation was not just saved under his ministry, but saved for those with like precious ministry. 1/6 of the nation. I talked with Brother Charlie about this, and his estimate would be, I said, what would 1/6 of America be today? And I think the figure he came up with was a little over 53 million, right? A little over 53 million. A little over 53 million. Can you handle it? Can you think it? Can you believe it? Can you pray it? Can you call it in? Can you give for it? Can you prophesy it? Can you be part of the army that goes out and said, if this were your last day on earth, are you ready to go to heaven or hell? Whoa, whoa, whoa. The gospel came. The gospel came to the Gentiles. Now here's the Gentiles. And you know the good thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, God doesn't care what color your skin is. He doesn't care what language you speak. He doesn't care what your nation or wherever you live or whatever. A soul is a soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. And Peter was a Jew, and Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. And you remember the vision of the sheet that came down. The sheet that came down, and God spoke to Peter, and Peter said, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean that's not according to the law. He said, Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you dare call it uncommon. You go where I want you to go. You say what I want you to say. You give what I want you to give. You be what I called you to be. You just do what I said to do, Peter. Peter said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he goes to the house of Cornelius. And thank God, while Peter was yet preaching, while Peter was yet preaching, I said, while Peter was yet preaching. Amen. Now, don't get a sit mentality on me now. While Peter was yet preaching, they were cooking. The Holy Ghost was cooking inside of them. While Peter was yet preaching, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. While Peter was yet preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that believed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I've been meditating quite a bit when we had the dedication here Sunday morning. You know, the things that I do as a pastor, I mean, are important to me because they're important to God. And, you know, when we dedicated an infant, a child, this too is revival. Revival is not just this or that or one or two other things. Revival is all of it. All of it anointed. Did I say it right? Revival is all of it. It's anointed prayer. It's anointed joy. Amen. It's anointed joy in the Lord. It's anointed giving. It's anointed. I'm anointed to preach a funeral. I haven't had it happen yet, but it could. Amen. I remember there was a 10 evangelist years ago. He was a gimmick kind of a guy. He scared a lot of people into the kingdom of God because he got his evangelistic partner and he'd bring out, they'd announce the dead were going to be raised that night under the tent, big top tent. And his buddy would get in the casket, and boy, they'd preach and preach, and then someone would give that blast of the trumpet, the door of that casket would come open. And that preacher would get up and come out of there, and people screaming, running to the altars, "My God, save me, Lord." Really, it happened more than once. You say, who was it? I'm not going to tell you. They're gone. Blessed be their memory. I mean, if you had a little tendency toward fear and you see a casket come open, somebody coming out of that casket, you're going to get right with God, you know. That cuts all the foolishness out, at least for a while. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Where was I when you got me off track there? All right. But you know, when I was just a baby, and you know, you hear me talk about my parents, and my father was a good man. He was a man that had godly character. But you know, if you've been taught all your life that this tongues thing and Holy Ghost thing is of the devil, then you've got to overcome something before you can ever embrace it. And most of you understand that, and some might not, but you know, Dad's whole side of the family. I mean, you know, you spend all your life growing up hearing that, you know, salvation is right, but this Holy Spirit thing, tongues thing, and then you hear about snake handlers and people rolling the floor. You know, there's a lot of things there that shake people up. But my mother, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and shortly after they were married, she said, "Son, I felt like I was going to die if I didn't have an outlet for the Holy Spirit." And so she no longer attended the church that she and Dad attended. And boy, she caught a lot of criticism. I mean, people would, you'd have thought she'd murdered somebody. You'd thought she shot somebody. You'd thought she'd done something terrible. She got some terrible phone calls back. I mean, this is right here in the United States of America. Now, thank God people are a little bit more sophisticated than they used to be. And when it came time to dedicate me, I mean, there was a division on how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, if it was going to happen. And my mother ordered the cheapest taxi she had to. That's all the money she had, ordered the cheapest taxi in Fort Worth. And I won't go into the details on that one. And went to church with her son, her baby, Robert Brian Nichols, took me to church. And it was a fiery evangelist pastor by the name of F.D. Davis, took me in his hands. And that man was a firebrand for God. The whole Davis family, they were preaching machines. In fact, I went to Bible college with his grandson later on. And Bernie had one of the strongest faiths I've ever seen in anybody. He pushed himself too far, kind of like Jack Cohen, went out early. He's been gone to be with the Lord for a few years. But I believe that when I was prayed over, I was tainted, I was ruined, I was branded, I was stamped. Praise God, something happened inside of me that no matter which way I would go and no matter how the world made, I couldn't tell you the pull that the world had on me as a young man. Can't tell you the pull. And I don't stay there. I just stay there long enough to tell you that was where it was for a while. But thank God, there was something inside. There was something inside. It was the anointing of God. It was the power of God. It was the touch of God. And I look at, God's brought me, God's pulled me through a knothole backwards so many times I've lost count. As an individual, as a pastor, as a church, 53 years, we've seen God do the impossible time and time and time and time again. I wasn't born to be ordinary. I wasn't born to be religious. I wasn't born to be status quo. I may act like that sometime, but not for long. I was born. My DNA is Holy Ghost. My DNA is Holy Ghost. And you know, as I thought along these lines, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And then, which means literally to just filled with God, filled with the supernatural, anointed. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, that word anointed, he who hath anointed us is God. It means to smear with anointed oil, to furnish what is needed. How God furnished Jesus with what was needed, with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something in this room tonight. You may never walk in the fullness of that power, but I'm telling you, it's yours. It's provided for. It's paid for. You couldn't buy it if you wanted to buy it, but I'm telling you, God's best is yours. God's best is paid for. Calvary's a done deal. Calvary finished it all. Calvary was a victory that Satan can never reverse. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has furnished us with what is needed to do what God has called us to do. God has filled us with what is needed. With what is needed. With what is needed. With what is needed. Amen. Couldn't tell you the tight times we've come through. I mean, the stuff that I don't have time to get into it, but I mean, even back in post office days, man, we swung out, dear God. I look back at some things we've done, it scares me. It scares me when I get out from under the anointing, so I have to stay under the anointing. You take right now, even after the tornado, we had to make decisions. Are we going to cut everything back to the bone? We're going to stop witnessing. We're going to stop radio. We're going to stop prayer. We're going to stop Bible college. We're going to stop our Christian school. What are we going to do? And right now, we need some financial miracle. I mean, really, and it's something. You do this thing 53 years, and today we need a miracle as almost as great as many times when we face that. But you know what? God has never failed. God has never failed. I said, God has never failed. God's still on the throne. And we've done our best. I've done my best to stand and to pursue the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I know when you have a special service, special revival, you always have some folks that come in, you don't want to check everything out, and that's good. And praise God, I believe in a trot line. You bait a number of hooks and you catch more fish that way. But when then that subsides a little bit for a while, then you find out who's really on the hook. You find out really where we're coming from. Amen. The anointing works when you see it, when you don't see it. The anointing works when you feel it and you don't feel it. The anointing that you've received of him abideth in you and abideth in me, whether you think so or not. Amen. I hope you think so. I hope you believe so. I'm here to try to up the ante. I'm here to turn the fire up tonight. But it's still true. It's still true. And there's only one answer. There's only one answer for me. I remember when I was back in Bible college, man, we were going full steam ahead. And I remember he was a good man. He wasn't a bad man. But he said, Bob, he said, guys like you burn out early. Guys like you, they don't last in the ministry. He said, you need to calm down. You need to kind of, you know, you need to. And he called my attention, two or three of my classmates. He said, now see, they're a little cooler. You know, they're operating. You know, they're going to be long distance running. But Bob, you can't do it all in one day. Well, they're all gone and I'm still here. They're gone and I'm still here. Is that a prideful statement? Dear God, no. I am what I am, whatever the good part of it is, by the grace of God. But Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And if the world ever needed strong believers, they need strong believers today. If America ever needed strong believers, they need it today. Hallelujah. Oh, mama. Under Jonathan Edwards, 1/6 of America came to God. 1/6 of America. And God can do 53 million. You know, God's the chief mathematician. How many understand that? You don't scare God with numbers. You don't scare God with numbers. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But oh, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. There was a reason. One of the great evangelists of day, more than one, but one especially. You hear the name A.A. Allen. I know we throw names around sometimes. Most of you weren't born when the people I'm talking about. But I mean, God has put me even as a child around people that have strong anointings of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's just a miracle how that God, when we were associates for a given period of time, there were people who said, Bob, you'll never go anywhere from where you are. Your ministry will never amount to anything. You need to really get out and get in the ministry. And you know that hurts when you're out mowing the church lawn. You know, when you're up on top of the church, we had evaporative coolers, and you'd get up and kick the devil out of those things every Sunday morning in your black suit. You know, when you're doing what you have to do, you know, and you'll never go in. In fact, my buddy that I saw about a while ago, this man went all over the world, had a big top 10. He did it all, but he flamed out early. Flamed out early, flamed out early. I'm still here. There's got to be a reason I'm still here. There's got to be a reason I'm still here. There's a God reason I'm still here. There's a God reason the anointing of God is still on my life. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, you don't have any problems. If I dump my stuff on you, I wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you one thing. I know that nothing is impossible with God. I said nothing is impossible with God. No mountain is too tall for God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have. He shall have. Not he might have. He shall have. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, whatever your age is, whatever your background of experience is, whatever your life has been up to this very moment, let me tell you something. The best is yet to come if we'll just hook on to it. God's still God. Jesus is still Jesus. The Holy Ghost is still the Holy Ghost. And the world still needs Jesus, and there's no shortage on sinners. Folks, we got 3.5 years. The clock's ticking. And I'm telling you, this nation's got to have a miracle. The first miracle has gone to the White House, but now the real miracle is just beginning. We must give ourselves to prayer and intercession and witnessing and do the works of God stronger than ever before. It cannot be business as usual. It cannot be. That's my daily cry. Satan tried to blow us away. Satan tried to burn us away. Satan's tried to tear us away and steal people away. He's fired every shot I think he's got in his arsenal. And if he's got some more, the Holy Ghost is bigger than that. Hallelujah. But we're still standing. You're still standing. You're still here. You're here. You're standing in faith. We're standing in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, so behold, I give unto you power. I'm just, see if I can just summarize it here. I've got to summarize it and do what I feel like God wants me to do. Behold, I give unto you power. You've got the power. I said, you've got the power. You've got the power. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Over all. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Used to sing a chorus among many other wonderful things. We'd sing, let go and let God have his wonderful way. I'm not through. I've just got to find a stopping place here. I want you to say it out loud. I've got the power. It's resident within me. But it's up to me.
It's up to me.
To keep the fire burning. In cooperation.
In cooperation.
With the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Stand with me if you will. Stand with me if you will. Praise be unto God. I hope I've stirred your heart here today. Praise be unto God. Amen. 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 Praise be unto God. Father, may we be as the men of Issachar, who had understanding concerning their times. Lord, I thank God the majority of Calvary Cathedral is not just those that come to church and don't have a clue what's going on, salve their religious conscience and go back home. But Father, I pray tonight that we will lock in to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. I said, Orabadile barakora bakoshi kataya. Praise God. You say, Pastor Nichols, I won't. You've got the anointing, but it needs to be stirred up. Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You had the gift. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. I wonder how many just say, I want the power of God that's in me to be stirred up tonight. You just come across this front if you would. Brother David, I want you to help me on that side of it. Now, you don't have time to preach a revival tonight, so you're going to have to lay hands on. Amen. Let your precious wife work with you there. Dr. Vaughn, where are you? Where are you? Come here, I want you to work this side right here. My hands aren't the on that. See, we got steps for folks that aren't as tall as other folks. There's a reason for these steps. A little too steep, but there's a reason. When hands are laid on you, now listen to me. When hands are laid on you, and then if just around. Hands are laid on you. I want you to release your faith that I'm going to a little higher level. I'm going to a little higher level. Hallelujah. I'm going to a higher level. Let's start right here about the center, and then we'll just work back that way. Can we do that? Yeah. Amen. Radha ya yaso kotoraka yeda bokoraka shakata yasai yeda lavasai. All right, now don't pray for anyone that someone's not standing behind them ready. Okay, you know how we do it. You know how we do it. Go to work. Go to work. When receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, la barakasha. Receive the power. Amen. Amen. Receive the power. Oh, reba katora kashe katora kasha. Lidabo reba da rakasha katai. Oh, la barakaria da la borakasha. Oh, reba barria da la bosia katai. You're gonna have to move a little quicker, baby. You're gonna move just a little quicker. Amen. Hallelujah. Not too fast, but just, yeah, you do it. Get ready to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Get ready. Oh, get ready. This is a team ministry. Get ready. In the name of Jesus. You guys, help us. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let your voice go out to God. Oh, Shila Barakoto Rakasa. Oh, get ready. Oh, la baraya to la borre baba koshe ya kata. Get ready. Oh, receive. Andora botora maya to la borre baba koshe ya no ya da. Hallelujah. Oh, get ready. Hallelujah. Get ready. Pray in the Spirit. Lord, I thirst. Pour